I want to welcome you again. It's good to have you with us. Did everybody get what they wanted for Christmas? Yeah. You know, the thing that amazes me, I know I'm getting old, because when I was a kid, the last thing I wanted to open was a pair of socks and a shirt. Now, I'm happy when I get socks and a shirt. My wife's happy too. She says, "You need shirts." I go, "No, I don't. I got plenty of them." She says, "You've been wearing them for 5 years." I said, "Okay. They don't have holes. They're fine." She doesn't see it that way. So you probably get tired of me of seeing me in the same shirt. We're going to go back. Prior to Christmas, we were going through James. And we're going to go back to that. And so if you want to follow along, today's scripture that we're going to be looking at is James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 17, and isn't it interesting, on the eve of a new year of 2016, how God's word applies? And it's talking about facing your future. So today we see what James has to say about that. You know, Americans have always been a forward-looking people. There was an article a couple years ago in the U.S. News and World Report that said right now we're obsessed with the future. We want to know what's going to happen next year and the next and the next decade and the next century. Yeah, we're preoccupied with the future. It's amazing how people try all kinds of different things to try to forecast the future. Things that seem kind of crazy to me, like something to do with tea leaves? I don't know. Heather, maybe you know what that's about. You're a tea expert. You know, fortune cookies. Yeah, I always open up the fortune cookie when we go to Payway, and it doesn't really tell me much. Palm reading. I'm not sure what that's about. But we even try going to different seminaries or seminars, try to grasp. We read books on seminars on planning and goal setting. But what is the Christian viewpoint towards the future? How am I to relate towards what happens? What should my reactions be? James, in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, James talks about how to face the future. He says that there are three mistakes that are commonly made that we should be aware of. And he gives us a warning. He says, plan for your future, but be aware of these three mistakes. And he illustrates the first mistake with a typical conversation between a couple of businessmen. One guy has his MBA from the University of Jerusalem. I made that up. The other is a CEO of the Tel Aviv 500 company. I made that up too. But these two guys are talking and they're discussing their plans. And in verse 13, we kind of drop into their conversation. It says this, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." Now, you might think, well, what's wrong with that? You know, people make plans every day. There's just a couple of entrepreneurs, of go-getters in Jerusalem, and there's a detail in the business plan, and they have it all planned out. When, today or tomorrow, where, this or that city, how long we'll spend a year there, and what we'll carry on business. Why? To make money. What's wrong with this? The Bible doesn't condemn making a legitimate profit. The Bible talks a lot about planning, too. This man has planned everything. His purpose, the place, the progress. He's got all the bases covered. So what's wrong here? Well, James says there's three common mistakes. And then there's three solutions. The first thing James says, the first common mistake we make is making plans without God. There's not a single mention of God in this entire business plan. he knew what he wanted. He knew how to get there, but he didn't check it out with God first. Don't misunderstand. The Bible talks about planning. Here's what it says. It says, no man goes out and builds a house without first considering how much it's going to cost. So the Bible talks about planning. And in the book of Proverbs, it says over and over again, if I don't plan, I'm a fool. So it's wise to plan. And so James isn't talking about planning. He's talking about the presumption without God. It's great to have dreams. It's great to have goals. as long as you include God, as long as you pray about it, there's nothing wrong with what he did. All of these things are fine. It's what he forgot to do. He forgot to include God. His attitude was one of self-sufficiency. There was an article in Reader's Digest by a guy named Alexander Saul. He said this, since I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of the Russian Revolution, in the process I've collected hundreds of personal testimonies, read hundreds of books, contributed 8 volumes of my own, but if I were asked today to formulate as precisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million Russians, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat the phrase, men have forgotten God. What is more, if I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would be unable to reflect anything more precise than this statement, men have forgotten God. This is what James is talking about. You can be a believer and you can forget God in your daily life. I know a lot of people who love the Lord with all their heart, but when it comes to planning their business or their career or their school education, they are practical atheists. It's sad to meet somebody who says, I don't believe in God. I don't believe he exists. But I believe it's sadder to find somebody who says, I believe he exists, but then he acts like he doesn't exist. He doesn't make any plans involving the Lord. He just goes off on his own as if it all depends on him. You say, I believe in God. Does he have a say in your business? Well, I don't believe in mixing business and faith. I would say all business is God's business if you're a believer. Don't plan without God. It's presumptuous. Planning without God is practical atheism. So what's the solution to this? James says to include God in your goal setting. Verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You circle that word, if it is the Lord's will. Have you realized that even the best laid plans of mice and men often fall through? You know, there's a thing called Murphy's Law. Have you ever run into that? You know, if things can go wrong, they will. You can count on it. Life is just one big if. Right in the middle of L-I-F-E is the word if. Life really is pretty iffy. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and neither do you. I can make an educated guess, but planning without God is presumptuous. The starting point in facing the future, in facing 2016, is to say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do this year? Planning without prayer is presumptuous. He says we should preface all of our planning with this phrase, if the Lord wills. So practice that this year. When somebody says, what are you going to do? You can say, well, I'm going to do this, God willing. I'm going to do this if the Lord wills. But, and not to trivialize it, he's not saying that, he's saying that the whole attitude of our life should be it's up to God. Whatever he wants me to do is what I want. It's just a good reminder. Christians for hundreds of years used to write D period, V period at the end of their letters. They'd sign their name and then they'd write D. those letters stood for the Latin phrase, Dio valente, which means Lord willing. James says that ought to be our response to life. It's okay to plan, but include God in your plans and goal setting. There's three possible responses to God's will. The first one is, I can make reference to it. And that's what he's saying here. I admit that God has a will, and I accept it, I acknowledge it, I make reference to it. Here's a second response. I can show deference to it. I really want God's will, and I accept it into my life. And the third one is, I can show preference for it. More than in anything else, I want God's will in my life. What God wants, that's my plan. That's what I deeply desire. Proverbs 16:1 says, we may make our plans, but God has the last word. You know, it's like man proposes, but God disposes. Proverbs 16:9, we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. You know, I think we need to stop praying, God, please bless what I'm doing. If this is the plan, would you please bless it now? God, I've worked them all out. Now I want your stamp of blessing on my plans. I think instead we need to pray, God, help me to do what your blessing. God is doing a lot of fantastic things in our worlds. I just want to be in on them. Help me to do what your blessing. I don't want my plans. I want your plans in my life. Your plans will provide success in my life. Here's the second mistake. Presuming about tomorrow. The first is planning without God, and you overcome it by including God in your goal setting. The second is presuming about tomorrow, taking it for granted, assuming I'm going to live forever. I've got the rest of my life. Here's verses 14 and 16. It says, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. There's a couple reasons why we shouldn't presume about the future and assume that we've got tomorrow. First of all, life is unpredictable. Anybody amen that? Yeah. My brother Jack. Life is unpredictable. It says you don't even know. None of us know what's going to happen tonight, much less next year. All we can do is make guesses. Life is so unpredictable. A war could start. The economy could turn around. Your friends could leave you. None of us know what's going to happen in life. Life is so unpredictable. Many of you work on commission. Some of you do. You work on commission. Or you are self-employed. It's kind of the same thing. And you go from feast to famine when it comes to your income. One day it's great, and the next day it's the pits. You don't have any assurance. There's no guarantee of perpetual success. None of us do. Realize that you can't presume on tomorrow. We shouldn't let that frighten us, that life is uncertain. Don't worry about it or be afraid. Just let it cause you to trust God, to trust Him more. Let it cause you to be more dependent on God. There was a point of time in our lives, in my life, where I thought I could be a salesman. I was really bad at it. I mean, I love the people, and I could make good friends, but the problem with me being a salesman, I did not want to ask them for their money. So I was bad at it. I remember one, I had a lot of jobs, but one of them was selling light bulbs. You ever tried to sell a $10 long life light bulb to someone when they can go down to Home Depot and buy it for 75 cents? Yeah, that month, one of those months, I came home with a whopping $65. That was for the whole month. That'll get your faith going. You know, one of the things that I found in that period of time is that when we're forced to depend on God, he always proves himself dependable. Here's a second lesson that James talks about. Life is brief. He says, you are a mist. Mist in the Greek is atmos, where we get the word atmosphere. Your life is like fog. It rolls in the morning, but it burns off by noon. Who knows how long we're going to live? None of us do. How does the Bible describe your life? It uses phrases like a leaf of grass, a shadow, a cloud, a puff of smoke, a vapor. I'm only one heartbeat away from eternity. And I don't know how long I'm going to live. Life is short. It goes so fast, from Hot Wheels to wheelchairs, from diapers to Depends. Life is brief. Watch out and don't presume you have the rest of your life. Don't take tomorrow for granted. Isaiah 56:12 says, come, each one cries, let us drink our fill of beer, and tomorrow will be like today or even better. Do you know anybody with that kind of attitude? Life is great. Let's party. Let's get drunk. Bring on the beer. The guys who say this have a bumper sticker on their camel. It's party time in Jerusalem. Live it up and have fun. We're going to live forever. James says that that's not the right attitude. You can't presume that tomorrow is going to be just the same as today. You can't presume that you're going to live to be 100. I sometimes pray that I don't. Proverbs 21:7:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, we love to announce our plans. We love to make our goals and declare them. Well, next year I'm going to double my income, or next year I'm going to take over 3 territories. Announcing a goal can either be a statement of faith or it can be a statement of arrogance. What's the difference? It's your motive. Why are you saying what you're saying? God says it's great to have goals, but check in with me first. Let me share with you what I think your goals ought to be. Don't presume on tomorrow. What's the solution on this? We see it in Matthew 6:34. It's live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. That's how God says to face the future. The future should be overwhelming. It could be overwhelming. But fortunately, it comes in bite-sized pieces, a 24-hour segment at a time. Plan for the future, but you can only live now. I can't live the future. I can only live today. Plan for the future, but take advantage of the present. Life is what happens to us while we're planning something else. Today is the good old days that you're going to talk about in 15 years. Enjoy the present. Make the most of the present. Don't make the mistake of planning without God. Don't make a mistake of presuming about tomorrow. I don't know if I've got next week, much less next year. I shouldn't just assume it. Spencer Johnson, he was the man who wrote the book, The 1 Minute Manager. And he wrote another book called The Perfect Present. In this book, he said the perfect present is literally the perfect present. The present time. That's all I have. That's all I have to give this world. Not next hour or next week or next month, but right now. That's the gift that God has given to me. So we ought to use it. That's all I have, the present. Just because the future is uncertain and unsure and brief doesn't mean you get all uptight and you get paralyzed with panic and worry. It's the motivation to trust God more. You put your trust in God, and that's how you face the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's what counts. David said in Psalm 35:15, Lord of my days are in your hands. Commitment, that's what James says. Don't make the mistake of planning without God, and don't make the mistake of presuming about tomorrow. Instead, include God in your planning and then make the most of today. Live life one day at a time. And here's a third common mistake that James talks about. Putting off doing good. He says in verse 17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. James is talking about the issue of procrastination. You know, I'm intending to do it. Ever met somebody who's always aiming to do it? You know, I always want to say, when are you going to pull the trigger? Here's a poem that describes it. It says, procrastination is my sin. It only caused me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. We love to put off. James says, that's a trap. Just because you know the right thing to do doesn't mean you're going to do it. How do you define sin? We think of evil activities and murder and committing adultery and cheating and lying and stealing. Those are sins of commission. But there's another kind of sin. It's sins of omission. Scripture says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. You know, I can do nothing at all and still be sinning. Because there are things that I ought to be doing. You could be a part of a legalistic church. You don't do anything, but you still forget God in your life. Christianity is more than simply avoiding evil. If all that the Christian life was a bunch of don'ts, you know, don't do this and don't do that, then everybody who is dead would qualify. Procrastination is a subtle trap. It's the land of someday I'll. You know, one of these days, and you never do because you presume upon tomorrow. One of these days I'm going to get serious about God. One of these days I'm really going to get committed. God says you don't have any guarantee about tomorrow. None at all. The solution is do it now. Do it now. In Proverbs 3, 27, 28 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. If somebody comes to you and asks you a favor, don't say tomorrow. Don't say later. Don't procrastinate. If you can do it now, do it now. There are three things that you can do with your life. You can spend it. You can waste it. You can invest it. You can waste your life. There are lots of ways. TV commercials will show you lots of ways to waste your time and your money and your life. Or you can spend it. You can spend your life trying to acquire things and fame and pleasure. Or you can invest your life. AJ and Erica, would you come and sit with Mark, please? The best use of life is to invest it in something that is going to outlast it. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep from that which he cannot use. That's what Jim Elliot said. What's going to last forever? Two things, the Word of God and people. People will last of two places for eternity. Where I spend my time now may determine where I'll spend eternity. Invest your lives in things that last, in the Word of God and in others. Make your life count. There was a commercial years ago on TV by the Peace Corps. It doesn't matter. It said this. It doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. We worry about the duration. How long are we going to live? God worries about the donation. What are you doing with your life? Am I making my life count or frittering it away on non-essentials, things that aren't going to count? God says, make your life count. Do it now. Remember the story that Jesus told in the New Testament about the talents? The master gave one talent to one man, 5 to another, 10 to another. He left and came back years later. Two guys had doubled their money. In that day, a talent was a weight of gold. The third man had taken his gold, had buried it in the ground, and did nothing with it. The master said, at least you could have put it in a CD account and got interest on it. Well, that's today's vernacular. Of course, the CD account doesn't have much interest today. He said, you wicked servant, why? What had he done? He'd done nothing. That's wickedness. Doing nothing with your life is bad. Make your life count. I can do all kinds of things that keep me from doing those no-no sins, but if I'm not doing anything in a positive sense, that's a sin of omission. What does it matter? God said it doesn't. Whatever you intend to do for the Lord, do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Not next week, not next month. Don't wait a week until next year. Do it now. Thinking about witnessing to a friend and inviting him to church, do it now. You may be thinking about teaching a class and getting involved in a Bible study, do it now. Thinking about starting to tithe and giving, do it now. There's an old saying I heard, it says, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. I know a person who practices reverse tithing. He lives off 10% of what he makes and tithes 80%, puts 10% in savings. There's a guy who's got the concept of doing it now. 2 Corinthians 6 says, right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. When is the best time to get it together with God? Luke 12, Jesus told a story that illustrates what James is teaching in this passage of Scripture. He tells a story about a man who is very successful in life, but he made a very foolish decision. He made some mistakes that James talks about, all three mistakes, in fact. He planned without God. He presumed about tomorrow, and he put off doing good. Luke 12, verse 16 says this, Jesus told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced good crop, literally abundant. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? This guy has the eye problems, right? All he can see is himself doing my thing for me. God says, how dumb. You fool. You don't know how long you're going to live. Don't. You don't have to get morbid about it and worry all the time. You know, am I going to die tonight? I invite you to give your life to Christ, not because you're going to die tonight, but because you have to live tomorrow. The fact is, none of us have any certainty how long we're going to be here. Just consider that in your planning, and do three things planned with God. Don't presume on tomorrow, but live today. Make it count. Don't wait on the things you know are the right things to do. Scripture says right now God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. For some of you, today is your day to give your life to the Lord. Today, not tomorrow. Not next week, today. In the book of Acts is a story of how Paul was a prisoner before King Felix in the northern part of Israel. And Paul talked to King Felix. He said, God has a plan for your life and God wants to work in your life. You're not here by accident. You weren't made and created just to breathe and take up space and get up in the morning, go to work, come home and watch TV. go to bed, retire, and die. There's more to life than that. It starts when you give your life to Jesus, God's Son, and you commit yourself to Him. When Jesus becomes the manager of your life, He will direct you. And Paul tells Felix this. He says, start by getting in tune with the Lord and establishing that relationship with Him. You know what Felix said? He said, that's real interesting. That's interesting, Paul. In fact, I'd like to hear more about it. Why don't you come back in a few days and we'll discuss it more? He never got another chance. It's presumptuous to depend on tomorrow. So what are your plans for 2016? What are your plans for the future? Have you set days and marked your calendar and scheduled appointments and then prayed, by the way, God, I want you to bless my life? God says that's practical atheism. The person who acts as if God doesn't exist and is planning is no different than the person who doesn't believe God exists. Does God have a say in your schedule? Or you just kind of fill it up or let life fill it up? Does God have priority in your planning? Let's get specific. Have you talked to God about how you're going to retire? Or have you just thought you can do it any way you want? Have you talked to God about your plans to go back to school to get that degree? Have you talked to God about your plans to get married, to get divorced, to date, to remain single? Don't you think He's interested in those kinds of things? He is. Have you talked to God about your business? About a career change? Your investments and how you spend your money? James is saying that none of us have any right to just plan our lives as if God doesn't even care. Check in with Him first. Consult God. Do you have a tendency to take tomorrow for granted? There will always be time to spend time with the kids. Maybe not. Right now, we're just trying to make ends meet. Once we reach a certain economic level, then I'm going to spend more time with my husband or wife. Right. What starts out as temporary condition ends up as a permanent lifestyle. People are going 100 miles an hour, bringing in the bucks, and then once they have them, there are no relationships left. If you only had a week left, how would you spend it? What would you do? What would you do with your husband or your wife or your children? God says, live each day and each week as if it were your last. Don't get morbid about it and plan for the future. But you can only live right now. And that's what counts. The number one way we presume on tomorrow is credit buying. You know, an undue amount of credit buying is presumption on the future. We can afford it. Things are only going to get better. That's presuming on tomorrow. Live each day as if it were your last. James says you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Is God a partner in your business? How so? Prove it. How do you know if God is a partner in your business? Simple. Does He get part of the profit? Heard of a business partnership where one partner took all the profits? I know there are a lot of people who do not tithe. Maybe they only tithe on their personal account, but not on their business account. They say, God's in my business, so we tithe on the profits of my business. My income, they write two checks. I know people that do that. So what have you been knowing that you ought to do? And you know it's the right thing to do, but you've just been putting it off. Someday I'll get around to it. I've seen round to it. It's just a little wooden thing. It says to it on it. James says do it now. Right now. Don't wait. Someday I'm going to give my life totally to God. Why not today? Why not today? There's no better time than the present. Would you simply pray a prayer like this? Maybe you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not sure you have. Settle it today. Are you absolutely certain today, if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? You can be sure. Simply do what the Bible says. Give your life to Christ. He's the bridge to God. Would you bow your heads with me? If you've never given your life to Christ, I invite you to pray this simple prayer. God, I want you in my life. I realize you made me for a purpose. I want to know what that purpose is. And today, as much as I know how, Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my life and make yourself real to me. Help me to understand it more. I want you to be the chairman of the board in my life. I want you to call the shots. Lord, I don't want to do planning without you. I want to open my heart to you today. The Bible says right now God is ready to welcome you. Today he is ready to save you. Today's your day. I don't believe God brought you here by accident. Today's your day. Simply say, Jesus, yes, I want you in my life. I want to be a Christian. Help me with my problems. Friends, he will. Others of you may be saying, well, I know I'm a Christian. I know I've got God in my heart. The greatest mistake in life is to forget God, to leave him out of your life. And even Christians can do that. We can go to church on Sunday and we can talk about the Lord and never say hi or bye again. Consult him or have reference, much less. We can not give him preference in our families, in our business, in our marriage, in our lives, in our schoolwork. Some of you need to pray, Lord, help me not to plan without you. I want you in my plans. I want to know that your will is. Lord, help me to live one day at a time. Help me to plan for tomorrow, but to live in today. To not worry, but to trust. The Bible says God will take care of your tomorrow too. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Friends, that's security. Maybe you would say this morning, Lord, help me to stop putting off doing what I know I ought to do. Maybe it's to get involved with a church. Maybe it's to get help with a problem. Maybe it's to change careers. Maybe it's to restore a relationship. I don't know your heart, but God does. Today is the day. Don't procrastinate. Say in your heart, Lord, help me to do what I know is right to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are here today. I thank you for your presence and for your word that's practical and applies to each one of our lives in areas we need it most. Lord, help us to trust more, to not depend so much on our own abilities and ingenuity, but realize that you hold the keys to the future. And when our life is in your hands, the safest place to be is there. Help us to do what we know we ought to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.